is a good God, and He's good all the time. Father, we welcome Your presence in this place. We're so glad that You have recourse in this church. We're so thankful for people that are hungry to know You and to walk in Your presence, Father. We're so thankful that Your glory has filled this earth as the waters cover the seas. And so, Father, we thank You tonight that we will have hearing ears, that we will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And, Lord, we thank You that we are the church. We are not this building. We are the church, and members in particular, Father. We thank You. And, Father, I release peace over this body. I speak peace over this body. I command peace to come to this body. In Jesus' mighty name, from the top to the bottom and all the way around, Father. I thank You, Lord, for it. I give You praise. I give You glory. I give You honor. And I say, Lord, that You are good. And Your mercy is new every morning. You are good. You are good. You are good. And there is no bad in You. You are nothing but good. And You hadn't done us anything but good. And so, Father, we thank You for it now. We give You the praise. We give You all the glory now. Father, we thank You that we speak Your word. We honor Your word tonight, Father, and we give it first place. And Lord, we thank You that we'll speak as the oracles of God. And we thank You that Your Spirit will lead and guide us into what we need to say and what we need to hear. And we'll be willing and obedient to hear and to do everything that's written of us, Father, in Your word, because it's written of us to do Your will, O Lord. And that's where our heart is, to do what You've called us to do, what You've asked us to do, and what is our privilege to do. In the name of Jesus, we thank You for it. We honor You this night, and we give You all the praise and all the glory. And if you agree with that, say amen. Woo! It's good to have fun, isn't it? Hallelujah. Well, tonight, me and Lorenzo's done had church, so we decided we're going to take up an offering and leave. But it's good. I mean, you know, it's so good when you get together with somebody and talk the word. Isn't it good to talk the word? I mean, how many people do you know that you can sit down and talk the word with and they won't get bored? You know, when they come in, are they doing their phone or doing their iPad or doing something else? Or like, well, I need to go do this. And but when you can sit down, I'm telling you, you want to find somebody, you know, to try them out and see where they really are. Just get you a good CD or DVD, put it on the TV and say, come and listen with me. And then if they decide they got something else to do, you know they're not ready for that. But there are people that's ready for that. There's people that's ready for this word, and we've got to be full of it. You ever heard somebody say, you're full of it? Well, you know what? You just agree with them. Say, yeah, full of the word. I'm full of the word of God. So it's important that we get that. Tonight we're going to be talking about you can change if you want to. You can change if you want to. You got to have a big want to. It, you know what? It shows me that people really don't want to when they don't show up. Now, some people are working. I understand that. But, you know, you can even use your faith and change that.
That's right. That's right.
Travis used his faith. When he made a commitment to God, when he went to a job, he told him, he said, I want to tell you right up front, before you hire me, that I go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday nights. And if it don't work with you, I need to look for another job. You know what? Most people would say, you got to be kidding. I mean, I don't want to not get this job. But you know what? God will get you the job you need to be sure that you can show up to hear His word. And this is where you have to place a demand, and it takes fearlessness to do it. Especially the time we're living in. You have to be fearless. You have to walk around with no fear. Because when, I mean, there he had seven people in the family that he was taking care of, basically. God took care of us. But he had seven people. And when he went up and he'd tell them, he said, I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And if this don't fit with the schedule that you have on this job, I need to look for another one. Before you hire me, I need to let you know that up front. And you know what? He didn't have a problem. You didn't have a problem with people, did you? Never had a problem with people. Those people listened because his heart was right, because he heard God, and he knew what was important in his life. And I know this is an area that people don't like you talking about. But you know what? If we don't talk about it, who will? Because see what the enemy does? He tries to lock you out from the Word of God and lock you into the system of this world. And God knows how to bring change in your life. I mean, we know for a fact, we had evidence that God knew how to take care of us.
Right.
I mean, when you got seven in a family and you got one person working, some people today think that if two aren't working, it ain't going to work. But you know what? It's where your faith is. It's where your faith. It would have cost us more to put five kids in a daycare than it would for me to work. Some people are working, putting their kids in a daycare, and they're paying the people to work for them. Really, it costs more. And you know what? I encourage you husbands that want to make your wives work when they got children. You know, make your wife. Now, if you want to work, help yourself. Some people think I'm saying you don't need to work, but help yourself. But if you as a man try to force your wife into working, when she's got a job at home with three, four kids, then something's wrong with you. You need to get more faith. You need to spend more time in the Word of God. You need to get rid of your fear and get your confidence in God's Word and the ability God's placed on your insides. Because see what the enemy's done? Women used to stay home and take care of the home and have it ready when the man went to work and came home. That he'd have food, the kids would be taken care of, everything's working. But what's happened? He shifted everything around, and now it's time, you know, the women work too with the men. Mm-hmm. Now, can't you see that wasn't God's plan? So it's been twisted, or you know, and wicked is wicked is what it is. Now, if you want to work, some women want to work. If they want to work, but I tell you what, sometimes we work at the expense of our children. That our children suffer because we end up working. I know there's a lot of single moms. I know there's a lot of single dads. If you got to do what you got to do. But I'm telling you what, this word can change anything.
That's right. Come on.
If you'll let it, this word can change anything. Because if it could take us from a family of seven, we knew when we came down here, there was a man that was living by himself and couldn't even take care of himself. And Travis was the only one working with seven people, and he was able, through God's help, to take care of seven.
All right, that's right.
Now, see, you know that wasn't just because he is a good man, even though he is. And he wanted to take care of his family, but they had to be somebody else working in that place besides just him. Now, see, when I was at home, I prayed for him. I prayed for him. I took care of the kids. I spent time in the Word. I prayed for him. And there was so many times that he would come home. I would know. Now, see, I would know. There was one day at 3 o'clock, I remember praying for him like I got this urgency in my spirit to pray for him. It didn't happen all the time, but that's that day I got this urgency to pray for him. And so I prayed until I got a release. It didn't take long. And then when he came home, he looked at me and he said, "You prayed for me today, didn't you?" And I said, "Was it about 3 o'clock?" He said, "Yes, it was." And he said, "I ran into something that I had never done before in building." And he said, "I said, Lord, I need help." And so his helpmate, come on. And you know, this is what happens. But you think, why would the enemy want to shift things around? Because if the woman can stay at home and do what she's designed to do, take care of the home, get the home ready, make it ready when her man comes home, that everything's ready, and he's been working all day long, laboring away, he can come home and enjoy himself. You see what I'm saying? But it's where we have limited. We have gradually, it's like gradually we've been turned. Gradually, you know, he's turned the ship on us. And like I say, if you want to work, work, and I'm not up here to condemn anybody if this is the way you're doing right now, but don't let it stay that way. And you women don't go home and say, you hear what she said and I did. I'm supposed to be working. I think some people get a hold of that, but I'm telling you that you can change if you want to. That word is able. It's able. It's made you able. It's powerful. That's what it says in Hebrews. It says the word of God's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide. Able. Did you get that? Able to divide asunder the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that tells me it can change anything. It can change something. If I got after you with a sword that was sharp on both sides, it could change take place, right? There's some change that will begin to take place. And that's what he said. The word of God will change you. It's sharper and it'll change. You know what it does? It cuts the word into us and cuts darkness away from us. See, this is why it's important. So it's important that we keep hearing these things. We hear it. I want to, you know, just, I'd like to take the young men, you know, and it says that the older women are supposed to train the young women, but I like to train the young men and tell them, let me tell you how it works, brother. If you want a happy wife, let me show you how to work this thing. Because, see, I was a happy camper. Now, I worked hard. I had 5 kids at home. I worked hard. I worked hard. I mean, when you got 5 kids and you got to keep everything going in order, you work hard. And it's not like they don't have a job. But the one thing I had the freedom to do, he let me have the freedom to decide what I wanted to do. And God was able, when we come together as one, that we made decisions as one, not separately, as one, because he said, you two shall become one. I want to tell you something. If you're marrying somebody that you can't become one with, you better run like fire. If you're marrying somebody that does not line up with the word, or you liking somebody that does not line up with the word of God, not even interested in them, don't try to change them. Get running. There's somebody out there waiting on you. There's somebody God's got for you. That's male and female. There's somebody God's got for you. Don't accept the first thing that comes by with two legs. Check them out. You know, I was looking at Travis back there, just spotted him back there, and I remember when him and Melanie, he loved Melanie, and he wanted to get married. You know, he didn't have a job when they first met, but the love for Melanie drove him, compelled him. That boy went out there and beat the bushes. I mean, I think you went and put in about 100 different applications. It was a bunch of them, wasn't it? But you know what it was? It was the love for that woman. It was the love for the love of his life right at that point. And it brought change in his life. It brought change. It brought change in Melanie's life. But you know what that did to us? That made us appreciate him. That made us think, this boy is serious. This boy really wants Melanie. And he went out there, and you know what? He did it. He did it, and he's taken care of her all these years. He's taken care of her kids. Sorry, Travis. Sorry. Their kids. Sorry. Hey, that's my first mistake all year. But he's taken care of that family, and trained up those kids very well, because it brought change. The love brought change into their life. Amen. But it didn't mean that they arrived, just like with us. They didn't arrive overnight. It didn't mean everything was roses every day that they got up, I'm sure. But the thing about it was the love compelled them. Well, the love of God compels us. The love for God compels us. The love for his word compels us to step into a place that we can be everything that he's made us to be, everything that he wants us to be. So it's important. And you women, let the man lead. Let the man lead. Trust God with your man. And you say, oh, but I don't know. He's made a lot of mistakes. But you know, God knows how to change them. I'm not saying you can't have any word in there. I'm not saying you can't, like God told Abraham, he said, listen to Sarah. There's a time when a man's supposed to listen to a woman. It's not all about me. Yay, I told you that, didn't I? I'm the man. If you're the man, you're in trouble. Because there's only one man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. He's the real man. But the life of God, I don't know how I got into all this, but the life of God is there to change us and challenge us to change. We need to wake up to righteousness, and we won't be going around walking in the dark. If we wake up to righteousness, we won't sin. And let me get started right here. I want to read this story here about, and some of you have heard it before, but it's the war of the flea. How many of you have ever heard that one? The war of the flea. You didn't know a flea had a war, did you? Said, in a war of the flea, a small, relatively weak enemy attacks a much larger, stronger foe by strategically inflaming and irritating him. The purpose of the attacks aren't to overwhelm and defeat the foe. The purpose is to get them so bitten with fear that they begin to self-destruct. Fleas can't kill a dog, but if they keep biting, they might eventually convince him to scratch himself to death. Isn't that amazing? And so that's where the enemy comes in. He can't destroy you. He can't kill you. He can't wipe you out like that. You have to give him permission. And so what does he do? He works on you a little at a time. So it's kind of like a leaky faucet. You know, it can take that ceramic thing and just wear it away. Tub, it can wear a spot out in it, just one drip, something you can stick your hand under that wouldn't hurt you, but it can drip long enough until it wears that away. And if it left there long enough, it can make a hole all the way through it. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of like the grass out there. Isn't it amazing? We can step on it and we can break it off, but that grass that God made has the ability, when concrete slab is over the top, to come up and push it away. Isn't that amazing? That's the word we're talking about. We have that word on the inside, but the only thing the enemy can do is gradually pick at us in some area of our life, some weak spot in our life, and keep dripping like a faucet in our life until he can't destroy us, but we will destroy ourselves. We'll be the ones to beat ourselves up for not following on to do what the Word of God said, because he's twisting words. He's twisting thoughts. That's why it's important to continue to hear. That's why it's important to continue to hear. And there was another thing here. It says, when you get one of God's thoughts on your mind, it will explode all the old ways of thinking and pull down religious carnal ways of thinking and renew it with the mind of Christ. This word is able to explode whatever is not of God, that's lined up, that's not what God intended to be there. Explode it. Explode it in your life, and you can get the mind of Christ. But you got to keep hearing. That's what we were talking about. But you can change. There's a song David Ingalls sang. He said, you can change if you want to. You can change. God will help you. Come be reconciled. Come be reconciled with the family of God. You can choose. You can choose what you want to choose. And I think today we are the product of what we chose yesterday. We are the product. Our family is the product of the choices that we made, the decisions we made in the past. Sometimes we get so caught up, you know, he was talking about in the Word of God. He said, don't fall back into the control of the enemy. After you started out in faith, why did you let them hinder you? See, we start running. We need God. People come to church. They get involved in, you know, come to church because they've got a real dire need. You know, they're going through financial situations. They're going through sickness and disease or whatever. They come here, and the people of faith rally together, and faith is up more than it is where you are. And then when they get together, they rally together and get that thing off you. Then you go back out there, and you forget where your help came from. Your help coming from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And your help was there. And what you do is you get back out in the world and you begin doing the things you got to do, you know, and then the enemy will help like this flea on the dog. He'll go up there and start scratching over this area and say, well, you know, why don't you do this? Why don't you just miss every now and then? Why don't you just do this or that and the other? Mm-hmm. See, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Get you doing the little bit, the little things, and those little things can destroy you. Those little foxes spoil the vine. It's those little things that we find ourselves going back to. And we talked about this before. A dog goes back to his vomit, and a sow goes back to her wallet if you don't continue on the road that God's given us to continue on. So what can be done when it seems you never can be free of old attitudes and lifestyles? What can be done? Is there anything that can be done? Yes, there is. Yes, and I'm speaking from the Word and from experience. Change can take place. What are you looking at? Now, you know, you can tell me what you're looking at, or you can think in your mind what you're looking at, but God knows what you're really looking at. What are you looking at? I like the, you know, when you spell look, you've seen that, and you put little eyeballs in those two O's. That's really what it's all about. What are you looking at? The Word is compared to a mirror. And we've been talking about this for a few weeks. It says for any man in James 1:23-25, if Chad wants to put it up there, says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, where he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh, I want you to see that look with the two eyes. Looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Do you notice it says perfect law of liberty? Liberty is freedom. And continueth, circle continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed. Did you get that? This man shall be blessed. Shall be blessed. Abraham was blessed, right? I mean, we got a lot of catching up to do to be blessed like Abraham was. But we are already blessed, but something is over there keeping us away from experiencing the blessing. The benefits of the blessing. Let me put it that way. The benefits of the blessing. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all. I like that. The pastor was saying all, that little word, all, means all. But we all with open face, that means all of us are open to it. It's not hid. Open face, beholding or looking as in a glass, the glory. You remember in the old days you used to call a mirror a looking glass. But we all with open face, looking as in a glass, the glory of beholding the glory of the Lord. Beholding the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when you keep your gaze fixed on the Word, there will be a. Did you get that? When you keep your gaze fixed on the Word, there will be. There will be, not might be, not may be, but there will be a supernatural transformation. There will be. If you continue to look, there will be a supernatural transformation. And Romans 12:1-2, Chad, put that one up for me. I don't have that wrote down. I can quote it, but I want everybody to see it. Romans 12:1-2 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, point to yourself, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not. See, this is our choice. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by, you know, have you seen these transformers? The kids like the transformers. They look like one thing, but you can turn them around and they are something else. Transformers. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You notice it deals with the mind, renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You mean I can prove what is the perfect will of God for my life? He said it. That's what he said, to be not conformed to this world, so that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I can prove. People are wondering, well, how do you know the perfect will of God? You keep hearing it. You keep hearing it. You keep hearing it until you're transformed in your soul or in your mind, your will, and emotions, and you'll prove. It will be demonstrated in your life is what I want to say. It will demonstrate itself in your life. If you're walking in poverty, you will walk in prosperity. If you continue to transform by the renewing of your mind, if you're walking with sickness and disease, if you continue to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you can prove what is God. You can demonstrate that God does not want you to walk in poverty. He wants you to walk in prosperity.
Right.
He doesn't want you to walk, you know, in all the things that's going on out there. You can walk in life and life more abundantly. This is what he's talking about. You can prove it. So let the Holy Spirit reveal the face of Christ and stamp it into your heart.
Yes.
How do we do that? By not being conformed to this world.
Mm-hmm.
But how many of you know, and you're sitting there, and you don't have to just keep looking straight ahead, nobody ever know, that if you're looking at the world more than you are God, then you're not going to prove anything but that God's word doesn't work.
That's right.
And you're going to walk around wondering why it hadn't transformed my life. You know why? It's because you are not being transformed because you quit looking. You quit looking. The Holy Ghost, when you start looking, will help you. He's there to help you. And what little bit you know right now, if you continue to look, the Holy Ghost will open up like a flower that to you.
Come on. That's good.
You know, a flower is pretty when it's closed, but it's more beautiful when it's open.
Amen.
And that's what God's word is to prove. He wants us to prove it. He wants to prove it. His word will demonstrate his love and his life for you. His word will demonstrate that your power over sickness and disease in your life. His word will demonstrate the power over poverty in your life. God never intended for his children to walk around in poverty. Never, never, never. So it's important we get that. And in the Living Bible, well, let me read Proverbs 4, 20, 23. If you want to turn there real quick, you got to slow down here. Proverbs 4, 20, 23. And it said, I'll read it up here. My son, attend to my words. Incline, turn to the other version, Chad, for me, please. I like the Amplified. It's a woman's Bible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It don't want to go there. Oh, it's there? Okay. My son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them, my words, not depart from your sight. Looking. What are you looking at? Keep them, my words, in the center of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Wonder why your emotions are running wild? For they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Life is life more abundantly. That means a prosperous life. And it talks about healing and health to all your flesh. Go to the next one, Chad. Keep that you are, it's understood there. You keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. There's a spring that you can tap into. There's a spring of life that you can tap into. People are wondering, you know what it is? If you were in a desert, here you are in a desert, and you're thirsty. You know, and you've been in that desert so long, and you've got no way to get water unless you find a spring. And he said, when you see a spring, what do you do? Have you ever seen a show where they found a spring and they were so thirsty, they run and just fall in it? And that's really what he wants you to do. He wants, if you guard your heart and you pay attention to the word of God, it's going to tap into the spring of life.
That's right.
It's going to tap into life and life more abundantly. It's an open, when that spring Jesus talked about, he said that in John, I believe it's chapter 4, he said, was told the woman, he said, a well, you can have a well, but John chapter 7, he said, I want to turn it into rivers of living water. Rivers. God don't want us to stay with just a well. He wants to turn it into rivers and let that river flow. But he said right there, for out of it flow the springs of life. Now, if you've got something that in your life that's not springing out, It's because you got to go back to keep and guard your heart. You got to go back to pay attention to my word. You got to go back to the things that he started out with in the beginning. Start from the back in reverse and go back up and find out why. If I'm not living in God's best, I need to go back and find out where I erred or got off the trail. I need to go back and find out, because he said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth you know will make you free. If you continue in my word. You notice he said, my son. He wasn't talking to the world. He said, my son. He's talking to us, the church, his children. He said, my son, pay attention to my word. You know the reason he said pay attention to his word? Because there's some other words out there. There's more words. How many of you know there's words out there? I mean, the world's got some words, but he said, you pay attention to my word. He's given you the answer to everything that you could ever need. And it's going to spring up. It's going to flow. The springs of life are just going to flow like a river. I remember when we started out, you know, we needed everything. We needed everything. I mean, we was living in a house my daddy had on the property my grandmother had lived in. We couldn't pay rent. We couldn't. You know, some people think y'all just been there where you are all your life. No, we hadn't. It would have been nice if we had, you know, been a lot further. But we lived in a place of my daddy's, you know, and we couldn't pay. My mother would bring food down to us, which he liked that. He told me, he said, don't cook. Wait till your mama see if she's going to bring us. It wasn't that we didn't have some food now. It's just that he liked my mother's cooking better. And you know what? I didn't mind it a bit because I didn't have to cook. See, he didn't have a problem with that. But we lived there. We didn't have everything. We didn't. I mean, we had sickness and disease. We had poverty. But we had the Word of God. And everybody was looking at us. We kept that word playing. We had heard about Brother Copeland, Brother Hagin. And so we shut everything off. We didn't have TVs, got rid of all our TVs. Mm-hmm. All our TVs. We had one, right? Got rid of them. No, I said we had one when I said we got rid of all of them. We don't have one TV. You know how many TVs people got today? 10, 12, 25? But we got rid of our TV. And, I mean, people thought we had committed the unpardonable sin. Our parents thought we had lost our mind. Your kids, they need that social life. Without the TV, they're not going to know how to connect to the world. I thought, praise God. We've been connected to the world. We got nothing but sickness and poverty and sin. Nothing. But we got turned on to the Word of God, and we got rid of that. We played. I had a tape player. We wore out probably how many tape players? And we got them. The tapes would go until they go. We played them until we wore them out. We'd order some more and play them again 24/7. And we watched and we saw how that thing began to, you know, if I'd had a camera, it's kind of like the slow motion cameras, you know, when they watch a flower start from the beginning and grow and then come up until it blooms. That's the way our life was. How many of you know you don't just arrive overnight?
That's right.
You don't just get there overnight. It's like somebody told Kenneth, he said, you look like you got there overnight. And he said, it's the longest night of my life. And it was. You know, I have to go back and remind myself of all the things, what God brought us through. Because sometimes, you know, you get so far up here until you forget about some of those things until they kind of come back up. And you realize, don't ever forget where you came from.
That's right.
And that's where the enemy wants you to go back to. He wants you to get away from that spring, go back to the desert again. Go back to Egypt. Get back in Egypt again. And you know how he does that? Like the dog with the flea on the dog. He gets up there and starts working on you. Starts saying, well, you don't need to go all the time. You know, you don't have to show up at church all the time. You know, you done heard that. And, you know, it's the same thing they're saying over and over again. You don't need to hear that. You listen to that tape enough. You don't need to listen to that. Listen to some news a little bit. Listen to some, you know, read a magazine, do everything. There's nothing wrong with doing that occasionally. But when you do that consistently above the Word of God, you're going to begin to dam your own spring up. And I'm encouraging you with this. Your children need to do the same thing.
Right.
Your children need to do the same thing. And if they're in your house, you should take control. They should not make the decisions what they're going to do. You should make those decisions. If you shouldn't have been the one to make those decisions, God would have just thrown them out when they were born. But you have to make those decisions for them. Some people say, well, I can't bring my kids to church. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, well, my kids, they're in ball, and they're in, you know, they're going to school. They got so much homework and all. And I just point blank, I hadn't heard that until it was like, listen, that is enough. Because either I'm going to tell you the truth or I'm going to be held accountable. And I looked at her and I said, you know what's going to happen to your children if you keep going this direction? When they get grown, they're going to serve the world. And you're going to wonder, why are they doing that? But it was because of the decisions you didn't make. You dammed that spring up in their life. You dammed it up. And that's it. When he said the springs could flow. Everything we do shouldn't be a struggle. Everything we do should be, when you get on a spring and it's flowing, we had a spring and Eddie knows where it is, Miller's Sandbar, you remember that? And you could get in there and you could put a float on there and you just float down, you know, you just had to kick yourself away from some of the snags every now and then, but you could just float all the way down. But you know what we do? We think our kids are so smart, and they are, they're smart today, they're smart enough to fool you. They're smart enough to talk you out of some things. They're smart enough to talk you into some things. But there's some things that God's holding us responsible for. There's some things that, you know, when my kids, I didn't ask my kids if they want to go to church. And I didn't make them think that school was more important than church. Because if you make them think school is more important than church, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go toward the world. And there's nothing wrong with school as long as you keep it in its right place. But if you make a God out of school in their eyes, you know what's going to happen? They're going to serve that God. They're going to serve that God. And you're going to dam up their spring. Isn't it amazing? I think today parents don't realize how much they dam up the springs that God put in their kids' lives. They put them there to help them find that spring, to prove the good things of God, to show them. We should have memorials in our life. You know, like in the old covenant, when they would overcome an enemy or they would conquer something, he would say, build a memorial. And then when your children come by, tell them what happened here. Tell them what happened here. Tell them what happened here. Tell them how God brought you through. Tell them how God opened the Red Sea. Tell them how God brought the enemy down. Tell them how God was able to help David bring that giant down. But what are we doing? We're not, you know what we're doing? We're letting our kids just go and play with Goliath. We're sending our kids into the enemy's camp, just like David and them sent their swords down to be sharpened by the Philistines. And you know what they did? They carved them down to nothing. And so what is happening today is we're sending our kids to the world and we're letting our kids follow the world standard, and the enemy's carving those sharp. He says they are an arrow in a mighty man's hand. That's what the Bible says. But if we send them the world's way, we keep pushing them the world's way, then he's carving them down to be nothing. He's dumbing them down. The only way they can be truly smart is if they understand God and his word. That's where real wisdom and knowledge comes from. Now, there's nothing wrong with your kids getting an education. There's nothing wrong. But if you are putting the education before this, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with it. You need to check up on yourself. You need to check up and from the neck up and make sure that, am I pushing the right thing? We're supposed to push the Word of God. And like I say, those kids, it shouldn't be their decision. And I was not going to let the world, I don't care how much homework they had, I was not going to let the world keep my kids out of church. We weren't. Our kids are not going to sit at home and do schoolwork while we go to church. Something's wrong with that picture. All we're doing is teaching them that God is not important, that school is. But when they get sick, ask school to heal them. Think about it. Just a thought. Just a thought. This is something we learned way back. And I know a lot of people, if you would share this with some people, they get mad as blue blazes at you. But you know what? He didn't call me to tickle flesh.
That's right.
He didn't call him to tickle flesh.
That's right.
But if they walk in poverty, get the school system to pay it. You hear what I'm saying? They walk in poverty, get the school system to pay for their education. Get the school system to bail them out. Get the government to bail them out. Woo, they're famous for that. Let's go get the government to bail us out. And I want to tell you something. If you are putting your trust in the welfare system, if you're putting your trust in what the government can do for you, you're going to be in trouble. Because the government is getting bankrupt. And so that's why it's important. The only one that has a spring of life is God's Word and God. When I say God's Word, that is God. That's the only thing it's got. Your job, if you trust your job more than you do the Word of God, if you put your job before the Word of God, then I want to tell you something. If that job goes down, you know what you're going to do? Probably a lot of people jump out the windows. They want to kill themselves. You'd be amazed how many people I've heard just the past month, Christian people, go to church people is what I call them. People that just go to church, go through the motion, they lost their job, kill themselves. There ain't no job worth killing me.
That's right.
You understand?
That's right.
There's no job worth dying for.
That's right.
Jesus died. I don't have to.
Amen.
You don't have to.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. When you get locked in to God and His Word, He'll promote you. And He'll bring you to a place of honor, it says. He'll bring you from down here all the way up. You'll be like the guy in Lodibar. David, covenant blessing will come to your house. And you'll step right into the thing that your big brother bought for you. You see how we limit the Holy One of Israel? We limit the God that we serve by the way we think. Because, see, the only way we think God can get anything to us is if we got a job. My job. If you think just your job is that you're locking yourself in. You're locking yourself down. If you think just your job is where you get all your money from. If you think that's just my job is what's bringing everything in. No. No, God's got a million ways to get money to you. But you know why we can't see that or it's not coming like we want it to? Is because we didn't pay attention to His Word. We didn't continue to listen to it. We didn't allow the Holy Spirit to build that Word on our insides. And that's where it's at. We've got to step back in. All you got to do, you don't have to beat yourself up. That's what we were talking about tonight. You don't have to beat yourself up. You don't have to, you know, beat yourself down or kick your donkey, as Jesse calls it. He didn't call it a donkey. And you got to realize, I won't say that. I'll leave that to Jesse. But we got to realize that God bought us. God bought us. Spirit, soul, and body. I'm not my own anymore. I'm very treasured. I'm a treasure person. You are a treasure person if you're born of God. But you know why we're not walking in that is because we don't know it. We've heard about it, but we don't know it. Because when you know it, those springs start flowing. You start looking for something. You start looking for things to start growing by the springs. The trees of Lebanon, it said. There's trees of Lebanon by the springs. The dates. All the kind of things that was going on during that time when they went to the springs, when they saw a spring back in the old days and today too probably, but back when they saw a spring, it meant life. They knew there was date trees there. They could eat. They knew there was a well that was there, but there was a spring flowing that would never stop. That's what God's Word is to us. God's Word. And we make the decision whether we want to change or not. And we made a decision one day. We got tired of living the way we were living. And then we had somebody come and tell us, you can change if you want to.
Well, all right.
And then they started showing us in the Word how to change. Then we said, you know, we looked at where we were at. We looked over there where you said we could be. And we said, I think we need to change. I think I'll change. I don't like where I'm at. And so we made some decisions. We made some choices because life is choice-driven. You know, remember somebody wrote a book on purpose-driven? It's choice-driven. There's choices you make every day you get up. Decisions you have to make every day you get up. What decisions you make will determine whether you flow, have the springs of life, or whether you walk in the desert. It's choices. And God's laid a path that is so clear, and it's so peaceful. He said that he brought the mountains down and the valleys up and gave a straight place to walk on. Isn't that good? Straight path. Straight path. Good gracious, I hadn't been nowhere, have I? I've been yak-yakking, but it's good. He said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, and I done read that. Said, then you will find yourself able to believe for the impossible. There's not anything impossible to a believer. That's not anything impossible to a believer. So we got to do it like we take medicine. You know what? If a doctor tells us, to show you how we're set in our ways and how we trust somebody, a doctor can tell us, take this 3 times a day for 10 days. If you're not any better, come back. Go see, they're practicing. But the one I'm talking about, never, he's not practicing. He gets results the first time. And he said to take this. So you got to realize if we take the word like we take medicine, you know, the gospels, I like that. Charles Capp said it's gospels. If you take your gospels every day, then it'll bring change in your life. It'll bring change. But you know what we do? We get laid back. You say, I think I'll rest today. You cannot lay your faith down. And what I mean by that, you got to continue to hear and hear. Do you know what the Lord showed us? Every time we started coming and commuting back and forth, like Linda and Lola and all them do, Elaine and Sheila, coming back and forth, we did that for 6 months, I think. It was 6 months. And we realized every time I got up, you know, it was a lot to get up because we didn't like being late. We're not late people. Are we? We're not late people. And so we had to get up real early to get down here by the time church. We wanted to be sitting in the, you know, yard out there before they opened the door.
30 minutes ahead.
Yeah, 30 minutes ahead. And so we were at home, but when I'd get up in the morning and my flesh was just not wanting to do anything right, my kids were not wanting to do anything right. I was trying to get things together and I wanted to get upset, and it's like, I think I'll just stay home today. But you know, he'd look at me. This is when I wanted to whack him. He'd look at me and he said, well, you can stay home, but I'm going. He knew I wasn't going to stay home if he went. I was trying to get him to stay so I feel better. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so he would look at me. Oh, when you make me mad, I could do stuff real fast. If you wanted my house clean, make me mad. I'd clean everything in the house, wash the windows from top to the bottom. I'd go from the top of the house all the way to the bottom. And I'd have it done in a little while. Hadn't done it all those months, but I could do it in that day just to show you I'm mad. But anyway, we got to that point, you know, and every time that I did that, and I'd bite the bullet, that's what I call it, and I get up, get everybody dressed, get down here. That was the day that God had something planned for us that day. A lot of times when I had the fight, it's when somebody wanted to give us something.
That's right.
I wonder how many times that God wanted to give somebody something and they weren't there when the person God moved on their heart.
That's right.
Think about it. Isn't it something to think about, isn't it? And every time that we had to press through to make it down and to stay all day walking around Tallahassee in the malls and walking around the pond, we looked like we walked around the pond. But we were there that night, And every time God was able to minister something to us that changed our life. Wonder, is church just something that we just go through the motions? No, that's traditional things.
That's right.
Tradition is goes through the motions. But we are the people of God, and he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some do. And it said it was Jesus' custom to be in church every time the doors were open.
Right.
It was his custom. Jesus said, imitate me as, you know, imitate me like children imitate their parents. So if I'm going to walk in those springs, I'm going to find out how Jesus did it and do what he did. Because, see, I can work and work and work and work, and I can have 3 jobs, and I still can't make ends meet. I know when Travis was working, we don't know how we made it sometimes. We couldn't put it down on paper. How many of you have ever been there? You couldn't figure it out on paper. We went, and, you know, we were obedient to pay our taxes, so we got together what little bit we had and went up there to the guy, and he looked through the things, and he looked at us, and he just started laughing. He said, you didn't make anything. You don't have to pay any taxes. But you know what? We did make something. We don't know how all that money came. We don't know how God met our needs, but God met our needs. There was not, and nobody had to come. We didn't have to stand on the side of the road. We worked for food. We didn't have to go and beg somebody for anything. We didn't have to go and say, I need some money. We have never asked anybody for money. Because when you're in faith, you don't have to tell anybody you want money. All you got to do is tell God. And God got somebody that's got money that is hot in their hands, and they need to get rid of it. But you know what? We had people come. I had never had a gold, you know, some people talk about my gold necklace. I had somebody talk about, you didn't need to wear a gold necklace like that. And I said, well, I do now because God wanted me to wear it. He's got a gold band around his chest. Why can't I have a gold necklace? It's little. But his is not like that. I had a lady fussing at me about it. I just let her fuss. I don't pay no attention to them, you know, when you know the truth. I know they're ignorant. And he said, let the ignorant be ignorant still. So I just let them keep going. And I had people come up. I had a lady, the first necklace I had was a little chain that was gold and had a diamond on. I thought, oh, man, I thought I had done died and gone to heaven. I never had anything like that before. It was little. But back then it was big. Because, see, everything we do is progressive. Let's don't limit God. Don't limit God. And I want to tell her, why don't you talk your husband into buying you a gold necklace instead of fussing about what my husband bought me?
That's right.
It's amazing how people feel about things like that. I just let them go on and enjoy their feelings. And I keep on enjoying my blessing. Because I want to tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what God has blessed me with. I'm not ashamed of it. And it's because it's what God wants to do. That's that spring. That's that spring. Everything good. Everything good that you could even imagine or even think. It pleases the heart of the Father to be able to bless you with it. But you know what we do a lot of times? We go out, and I'm going to close with this, but we go out, and you know, we go out and get in debt and buy something and say, look what God's blessed me with. God didn't bless you with that because God don't bless you with debt.
Not with debt. That's right.
Now, God might have made a way for you to be able to get it, but that's not God's best.
That's right.
Because he don't want you in debt to anybody.
That's right.
But see, in the stepping stones that we have, we're progressively coming to that place where we are debt-free. We have full abundance and no lack. And I want to tell you something. There is a discipline. A lot of people hear a message like that, and then they go out and try to get everything. You try to hint around, oh, Pastor, I like your watch. I've been believing for one just like it. Say, well, keep on believing. It'll come as soon as you can believe it in. Because a lot of people, we went through some crazy times where people would go and see somebody who had a Rolex watch or something like that, and they'll up to them and say, brother, that's the prettiest watch. I was believing for one just like it. You know what they're doing? They're hinting. Give me that. And the person was smart enough not to do it. Because, see, he said, the just shall live by faith. By faith. By faith. By faith. And so if it's by faith, you don't have to go out and ask for it. David said he's never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. Begging bread. We'll never beg for bread as long as you hook up with the righteousness of God. As long as you keep the word of God first place. As long as you get it in your heart. As long as you get it where your mind, will, and emotions are flowing in the same direction God is, it says the blessings will come on you and overtake you. That means if you're running after God, those blessings are going to come behind you and overtake you like a wave. Just a wave. And it's time for us to wake up and head toward God. Head toward God. The reason we're not getting any waves is because we're going toward the blessing. He didn't tell us to go that way. He said, go toward God. Yes. He said, let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose toward this word. Yes. And then he said, you're not going to make the blessings come. He said, you just keep looking. He said, they're looking for you.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, like a tsunami, it's going to hit you.
Yes.
You ever seen how the tsunami came in? Mm-hmm. Nothing could control it. Nothing could stop it. Buildings, whatever it was, couldn't stop it. And so that's the way the tsunami of God's blessing is. Come in. Quit putting your dependency on what you can do alone.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Because I want to tell you, God can do much more than that. David, and I'll close with this. David bought a piece of property that God didn't instruct him to buy. He paid now this was back in that time. He paid $100,000 for it. That was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
And then he realized God came to him and he told him, he said, that was not my plan. Get rid of it. And so David, here's David. He just told the guys, he said, get rid of it. God said that's not his plan. And they said, but you paid $100,000. Isn't that the way people think a lot of times? But you paid $100,000 for it. But you said, God said, get rid of it. But don't you know how much money you paid? God said, get rid of it. And David looked at him like this. He said, God can do much more than that. And that's what I'm telling you tonight and me tonight. The things that we've had our dependency in amount to nothing compared to God and His Word. God can do much more than what you can even ask or think according to the power that works in you. You notice it didn't say according to the system of this world that works in you, according to the way your job works in you, according to the way the school works in you. It said according to the power of God that works in you. That means the word, that spring. That spring. You keep looking long enough, you're going to tap into that spring. And you're going to be unstoppable.